On Monday, March 7th, I'm calling to order the council meeting of the Borough of Edgewood. Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll, please.
Mr. Bray.
Here.
Dr. Wallace.
Here.
Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Dr. Petrola. Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the mayor and solicitor are also in attendance. If you would all please stand with me to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, we'll entertain items from the floor. I'd like a point of privilege, I guess, to have Mr. Mike Belmont come from the school district and do his presentation so that you all hear it, because usually when people say what they have to say, they leave. And not that I blame you, but I just want to make sure that you all get to meet Mike and hear what he has to say about our school district.
Thanks a lot, Pat. I appreciate that. Thank you. My reason for being here, I wanted to review financial factors impacting our budget, and then a quick thank you and then a question and a thank you, all that. And then Ham is here from the county to talk about the Live Well Allegheny program. But in your hand, you have a copy of a PowerPoint I did prior to our last budget vote entitled Factors Impacting Our Budget. And there are some numbers in here that I didn't think many people were aware of when we were preparing our budget last year. So I thought it would be helpful to enlighten everybody. So if you turn over to the retirement page 2, you'll see that, as we're all aware, the retirement system, our feeding system, is never coming. So how does that affect the Woodland Hills School District? When you turn to page 3, the state, due to the deficit of $53 billion, is asking the 500 districts across the Commonwealth to make up the difference. And how that impacts us is this current school year, we have a projected increase of 25% more money that we're going to have to put into our pension that will go to the state. That translates to dollars of $6.8 million more money that we have to come up with. That almost sounds fantasy, but that's what we have to come up with. And then for the next 4 years, you'll see that those numbers get bigger. And then the year 2020, the state projects it will be at a manageable point in the liability. And then it starts to scale back. So flipping the page, one of the reasons you'll see on page 4 that this liability increased after the recession is the projected return on investment that the math heads we're looking at decided that it's not realistic, an 8% return isn't there, so they cut that by a half a point, and that added $4 billion to the liability of our pension fund. Turning the page, over to page 6, you can read the retirement bullet points on your own. You'll see charter schools. As a point of reference, in the 05-06 school year, Propel opened their charters, and the school district paid $3.5 million for students from our district to attend other charter schools. This year, we're projecting $14.5 million. Very quickly, how charter school works. It is not tuition-free. It's paid for. It's a public enterprise. It's paid for with our tax dollars. The child from Woodland Hills attends Propel. Roughly $10,000 follows that regular education student from our general fund to that school's budget. The child is special education, approximately $23,000 follows that child into that host school's budget. So it's going up and up and up, and you can see that the $14.5 million represents 17% of our $89 million budget. It's a big figure. I will digress for a second. You guys have a second handout talking about charter schools. What this is, the Pennsylvania Department of Education assigns a school performance profile number to each high school across the state. And the criteria for that number is on your right, and they give you an aggregate number, the upper left. And you'll see that our high school scored at a 64.8. As you look at Propel Braddock Hills and then Propel Homestead, they're at about 48 and change and 49 and change. So we're outperforming those high schools. Another point on the charter schools, as the law is written, we have to transport kids who want to go to another school, for example, imagine over in Penn Hills. Here's the border of Woodland Hills School District. Any school within 10 miles of any point of that border, we have to provide transportation. So turning your page, you can see on page 9, transportation. This year, we budgeted $6.1 million to transport 7,000 kids to 100 different schools. It's an astounding number. Education's changed since I grew up. Of that 100 different schools, 6 of them are in Woodland Hills, but then 94 represent the private schools and charter schools all around. Sometimes you might have 2 kids on a small bus going over here, deadheads back, and you got to go pick them up. Our transportation department has done a wonderful job trying to make it as efficient as possible, but as you can tell, this is almost unwieldy. Backtracking to health care on page 8, we did close a couple of schools this year, but we still had an increase in our health care cost. Not as great as it would have been, but still an increase. So health care is always that ever-looming factor. Turning over to the following page 10, you'll see personnel history. Wondering, well, what are we doing to save money? Our technology department once consisted of 6 employees, and we're down to, our technology department. We had 6, we're now down to 3. Our curriculum department, we had a high of 12, and we're now down to 2, and 30 custodial positions have been eliminated in the last 5 or 6 years. So our central administration is pretty tight. Our classroom size is good, student to teacher ratio is good, but you don't want to go there in a large class sizes. State funding, page 11, and this is what I'm going to review here is very sad. Skipping down to the third bullet point, we are one of 3 states without a fair funding formula. Governor Corbett had commissioned group to study this. Last summer, the findings came back, but that hasn't been enacted yet, and that's part of why there's an impasse between our governor and the legislature. If you flip this page to the point of us not having a fair funding formula, Pennsylvania is the worst state in the country. Let me see this right here. In the disparity between what an affluent district spends on their student and what a poor district spends on their student. It's a $33 differential. You can see Vermont's number 2, and they're not even close. So that's the significance of not having a fair funding formula to get dollars to the poor districts. Our free and reduced lunch rate in our school district, the kids that attend our schools, is at 80%. So that gives you an idea of how that discrepancy in how schools are funded impacts us. The final page, you'll see budget highlights. We did not raise taxes last year. The last time we done that was 2012-13, and before that was 09-10. Last year, 75% of the districts across the state did raise taxes. We did not. We spent down our $3.5 million fund balance. We asked Jordan Tax Service to get more vigorous collecting delinquent taxes, which they have, but we're projecting a fund balance of between $50,000 and $80,000 in June. That's if we make it. When the governor didn't get the $5.9 billion he wanted for education funding, the legislature approved $5.6. He cut it to $3.1. You've read in the papers and you've seen in the news how districts are borrowing across the state to make budget, and we could be next. As a point of reference, schools that districts that have had to borrow so far this year across the state have borrowed collectively almost $1 billion in charter schools because the way they are reimbursed is being looked at also is not equitable, has a collective unassigned fund balance of $150 million. So think about those two figures. Did you see the third bullet point on budget highlights? We didn't raise taxes. We are in the process of selling the administration building. We did cut pre-K, which was a tough vote for me because my wife's a preschool director. I heard about that. But it was between that and college access. So I know pre-K, you get out of the gate. The research shows it's important, but we had other options there. Our college access center is a wonderful program. The kid's a junior and senior in high school. He goes and sees Joyce, and she says, okay, this is how you fill out a FAFSA. This is how you fill out a college application, because many of our students, it's their first family member to go to college. So getting those kids across the finish line is where I ended up voting on that. So anyhow, I thought you guys would want to know what was going on. I've been asked, Mike, will you raise taxes? In my opinion, I believe so. The state index allows us to go to 0.73 of a mil. If we go higher than that, you have to get a referendum, and that would get voted down. Everybody knows that. And I talked to the business manager. You can see it on the website. Our projected revenue increase and what he's putting out there, it's like sevens of millions of people think it's going to have more than a 22% to 30% increase. In tax bill. 0.73 of a mil per index. So that's the story. I could go into a few more details, but I know you guys have other things to cover. Are there any questions I can answer for you?
Well, Mike, if I may, I'm looking at the other graph or information that you gave us. If a student is college bound, it would appear to me that we're doing rather well at Woodland Hills. However, if a student is average, we're still doing better than the Propels, but if anywhere, that's where we're weak. That's where we need the help.
Well, yeah, that's perceptive. And historically, our high flyers, we have I'll share this quick tidbit with you. Our retired high school principal, Dan, retired year before last. He was married to the Fox Chapel superintendent. She's retired now. They compared the course curriculum of Woodland Hills High School Fox Chapel High School. And Fox Chapel offered nothing more than we did. We were neck and neck with them. And so we're doing great there. And then our rate of special education, one out of four kids almost in our district is special ed, anywhere from mildly autistic to severely handicapped. So we pour a ton of resources into those services. So, and we have families moving here. They know we do such an outstanding job with special ed families, and we want to do that. But then that middle group, Ed, sometimes the family really has to pay attention to make sure they get the attention they need. Anything else?
I'm just going to open it up for like one or two questions if anyone has a question. When does the school board meet? Just a minute. When are the regular school board meetings, Mr. Belmont? I think it'd be helpful for people to know.
Good question. Second and third Wednesdays of the month, 7 o'clock, at the Fairless Building, North Braddock, on Jones Avenue. And we reconfigured our committee meetings. We meet the fourth Tuesday and fourth Wednesday of each month, starting at 5, goes to about 7:30. We have four of our committee meetings on Tuesday, like facilities, athletics, and Wednesday you'll have finance, curriculum, special ed. We used to have a hodgepodge. They were all over the calendar, and we condensed it in the hopes that maybe, and we've had more public attendance. Because fourth Tuesday and Wednesday for committee meetings. Starting
five. And Mike, you were on Forest Hills Council. So he's been where we are, and Mike's daughter and my daughter were in the musical department. If you've never seen a Woodland Hills musical, they're Gene Kelly winners. Truly amazing department.
Last year, Pat, of the 14 Gene Kelly categories, and all the high schools that get nominated meet at the Benedum the last Saturday of May. We got nominated in 9 categories, won 6, including Best Musical. So our performing arts is off the charts. If you enjoy that stuff, take a night and go. It's the last weekend of April.
You're Pan, right?
Correct. And speaking of that, Apple, to that end, hand these to you, a couple of commemorative programs from the High School Musical last year, for the first time in the history of the district, all 12 towns bought an ad. And thank you for doing that. They're all kind of toward the center of the program, so that's pretty cool. You go around to all the communities, everybody's behind it, so that's neat. And my question, we are trying to get a banners project off the ground. If you can go through the communities, you see the telephone pole with a vertical banner, and it might say, "Welcome to Edgewood." What we're trying to do, and the other towns I've been to so far are for this, have a "Welcome to Edgewood," part of Woodland Hills School District, or whatever you want it to say. But what we're asking is for you guys to deliberate on that, and then we're going to convene a rep from each group and have the towns decide what it looks like, what the colors are, how big it is, the types of letters, all that stuff. And we want to get together and do this like in early April. So if you guys can think on that, if you want to do it number one, then number two, what do you think it should look like? It kind of be a unifying thing to be able to drive through different areas. Like Forest Hills, they're looking at Ardmore Boulevard, Greensburg Pike, Braddock Road, and Fillmore Road, two cut-ups. Then on Greensburg Pike, where it's kind of cool, you have Forest Hills, Chalfont, Church and Wilkins, all different sections. And all those towns are for this. You have those going down Greensburg Pike, and you say, "Oh, man, all part of the Woodland Hills School District." So that's that. That's my story. Any questions on that?
I will ask Community Service to take a look at that and to contact you if they have any questions.
Okay.
And Mr. Wilson.
Quick question on the negative 33%.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it because we don't haven't had a budget in over a year that you couldn't have the numbers to put in, or is that previous numbers budget put in?
Previous.
That's what I figured. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the current and past. And that's it for me, and Hannah was going to talk about the Live Well Allegheny.
Thank you, Mike. I have to say, so my name is Hannah Hardy. I'm from the Allegheny County Health Department, and I went to Shenley High School, and we used to get our butts kicked every year by Woodland Hills in terms of the school production. So thank you for letting me take a few minutes of your time. I've been going around with Mike to all of the different municipalities in the Woodland Hills School District. Again, my name is Hannah Hardy from the Allegheny County Health Department, and I bring you greetings from the county executive. Our director is Dr. Karen Hacker. What I'm here to talk to you about tonight, we have a countywide, it's basically our countywide health and wellness campaign. It is called Live Well Allegheny. And just to cut to the chase, we're trying to get every municipality in Allegheny County to make a commitment to become a Live Well Allegheny community. So we have 130 municipalities. We have 22 that have committed thus far. We actually have some others in the Woodland Hills School District that we are waiting to announce. And I think that Mike has set the lofty goal for us to get every municipality in the Woodland Hills School District and then along with the school district to make a joint commitment. In Allegheny County, we struggle as it relates to our health indicators. We have higher rates of diabetes, higher rates of infant mortality, higher rates of cardiovascular disease. Amongst those kind of preventable chronic diseases, over 80% of them could be prevented if we can all work together to change our behavior. So we're working on things like improving how we all eat, improving how physically active we are, reducing our rates of smoking and tobacco use. That's kind of like, those are kind of the three main tenets of our campaign. So in 2014, the county executive, with the leadership of the Board of Health and Dr. Hacker, launched Live Well Allegheny. It is, as I said, it's really a broad concept that incorporates our physical health, our mental wellness, personal and community safety.
And what we're asking is for municipalities to really make a commitment to Live Well Allegheny by saying we're going to do at least three different things. We have a whole, I'd like to pass around, if I can pass around, a description of the program. We have collected different ideas, different evidence-based practices that have been known to improve health. Those are things like committing to, work on different wellness trails in your municipality, looking at your vending machines, promoting and supporting farmers markets. You know, there's any number of things that Edgewood may already be doing that are promoting health in your community. What we would like to do is really to promote your efforts and also to connect your efforts, if you are interested in this, to what's happening at a countywide level. We are looking for official action. I have to say, we're looking for municipal resolutions. I'll take the liberty of passing around. We have a draft resolution for consideration. So we would really like to, if you're interested in this and willing to consider passing a resolution in support of Live Well Allegheny, we'd really like to promote that, work with you on an event, and then, look towards the future if there is a specific area of focus that perhaps Edgewood's interested in, whether it maybe be more related to increasing physical activity or what have you, if there's any certain programming or whatever that you're interested in. I would certainly like to figure out ways that we can partner with you on that. We do have over 120 at this point community partners, so we're looking to bring, those are people like our YMCAs, our libraries, our wonderful partners. I know you have a wonderful library here, other nonprofit organizations, so we're looking to really engage them in working with our municipalities. So I will take the liberty of passing around this resolution. We're really trying to set a vision here to make, under the county executive's leadership, to make Allegheny County the healthiest county. And we do think every little bit counts, whether it's even, Edgewood Borough providing wellness information to your residents or, to your employees, things like that. Every little bit does count. And I would, certainly like to, if there's any questions, and would love to partner with you on that. So.
We have a newsletter, we do have sports programs for children. We partner with 14th Ward, and we have a soccer and basketball. We have adult basketball. Try to keep people healthy, right, Mr. Fuller? And
I was looking at all that.
So there are some things that we can do, and once again, council will take this under consideration. Obviously, we all want to live well in Allegheny County.
That's right. If there's anything we can do related to that, our message, honestly, I just have to say, our message, honestly, is really simple changes that can have an impact. So I don't want this to be presented. I'm not going to be the type that goes and runs a marathon tomorrow. But I got to tell you, my kid is walking more, so I got myself a Fitbit this weekend because I need to walk more. That's what we're about, is the simple changes that can be made in your community. We're doing things related to, like, healthy corner store initiatives, improving access to fresh and healthy food, so if that's a concern in this community. We've heard from other communities about their older populations, and, some of our Live Well communities are really focused on how can their senior populations be living well in their community if there's not good sidewalks for them to be walking, things like that. So it is definitely very different in every community. North and South Fayette, they're very focused on their business community. What can we do to live well Wednesdays and different discounts and things. So it's a little bit different. So I'd love to work with you on that.
Thank you.
And I'll leave some postcards downstairs.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Did this young man in the back want to say anything, or is he just here because his mother's? My kids have been here. I understand it. Oh, there you go. Please, you're next. I hope you all enjoyed hearing that presentation. I thank you very much, Hannah and Mike. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My name is Sarah Pelican-Cato. I live on Greendale Avenue, and kind of going off of actually why Hannah's here. And I've talked to Julie and I've talked to Chief Payne about some of these issues before, and it's a new year and I've been wanting to get to a council meeting. In the meantime, I've met some other people that have similar concerns. I understand that you're all volunteers, so I appreciate your time today and listening to us and our concerns.
That's what you elected us to do, right?
I hope so. So my husband and I bought our first home in Greendale 2 years ago. Did a lot of research, different areas. We were really excited to move to Edgewood. Heard lots of great things about it. I have probably been more disappointed than Jason in terms of some of the livability things, and feeling that Edgewood is a really positive, you know, kind of great community to live in, and I'll tell you kind of some of our concerns. There's a lot of issues that, you know, we've kind of talked about in terms of just sustainability and livability, but I just today really want to focus on the speeding and the traffic concerns that we especially see on our street. So we live in the lower part of Greendale Avenue. Cars frequently, and I'm sure you're all aware, disobey the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. It's the best way I can describe it is a game of chicken on our street. Jason, about a month ago, almost witnessed a road rage incident in their front yard, where basically cars kind of come head to head and they just kind of wait each other out. There's really, it's hard for cars that aren't familiar with that road, or even cars that do frequently travel on that road, to know the traffic patterns if it's a two-way street. So people fly up Braddock and they just keep going, and people, you know, there's nowhere to go, and they stop, they honk, they get upset. So we usually hear a lot of that. I guess the other concern is, you know, in addition to, and my husband's addressed the litter issue in the community, we often find frequently half empty or half full liquor bottles, beer bottles, liquor. I mean, just kind of frightening, the things we find in our front yard. Between there's two stop signs between where we live, and then people frequently just kind of blow past the stop sign. The other thing is that there are two speed limit signs on our street, and you don't really pay attention to them. I've been paying attention. They're very small. They're very outdated. They're hard to see with the trees and the cars and the traffic. So I think people come off of Braddock and kind of catapult themselves down that street, and it's just, you know, people go, I can't even tell you how fast they go, but it's unbelievable. It's really frightening, to be honest. You know, they often pass the stop sign on the ramp and then also on our street well, so it becomes this game of who's going to go first. Lots of cars honking back and forth at each other. I know that police cars are constantly, you know, through our community driving around. I see them driving around, but we just have never seen them actually stop on our street to kind of just kind of keep an eye out or just look to see what's going on in our neighborhood. It might happen. I just have never witnessed it. I understand, I've talked to Chief Bain about the state law preventing the borough officers to use radar detectors. He suggested that I talk to our state representative, which I've done. I talked to Representative Costa, and I know he talked to Julie about, support or legislation to support a change. The one thing he did recommend or said that he could do was offer one of those speeding signs to put on our street, and I don't know. I know he said you guys were working with the borough to make that happen. So we've looked into other communities or just other things that people do, kind of thinking outside of the box, because in our mind, we want to stay in this community, we love this community, but to raise a family in this community and to make it a long term, it's just not where we live right now. It's just not a place that you'd want to have kids or dogs, or, you know, there's lots of elderly people walking up and down our street. So I guess we're, you know, looking for some, we're not looking for answers, we're just looking to bring it up to the council to talk about ways that maybe we can work together. It's interesting, we've met other people that live in Greendale and Race Street that have the same concerns, which makes me happy that it's not just me that, you know, feel the same way. And we know you guys have a hard job. We understand there's limited resources and budgets, and you guys, most of you are volunteers. But we're, you know, just interested in kind of brainstorming some ways to work with you guys. And we live on Greendale. Other people, you know, have noticed it on Race Street in terms of the speeding and the traffic. So we just want to make sure that this is a community that's safe and sustainable, and we're willing to support that. But we're looking for some ideas, thinking outside of the box of what we can do to make that happen.
Thank you. So. Next. I think it's good. I think you're kind of all here with the same thing. Am I reading you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it would be helpful if, unless you're here for litter.
I'm not speaking.
No. Okay. but if you're here, it would be good for us to hear all of you, and then, you know, respond if that's okay. I don't want you to think I'm, you know, not giving you, but it's just easier for us. Okay.
Sure.
Please state your name and address and...
Hi, I'm Martha Ryle. I live at 166 Race Street. That's the home at the corner of Race and Vine with the Native Garden. I now know why Race Street is called Race. It's certainly quite the speedway. And I remember years ago coming to Edgewood for various things to visit friends, and I remember more of a police presence at the corner, that stop sign. We just watch people blow through that stop sign daily. And it's interesting, and more of the traffic is in the evening, and people want to get home. I sometimes will be backing out of my driveway, and they still shoot and will go around me just to get. They're that anxious to get home. You know, we love Edgewood. We love our home. The light is beautiful. We love our garden. We love the sounds of the kids playing in the park. And there's so many wonderful amenities to this community. But the noise and the traffic and the speeding and the litter is a true issue. And I would like to echo what Sarah has to say. You know, I'm looking for ideas. I worked in the Florida market for a long time. And one of the things they did to combat noise is that we could report license plate numbers. And then if a certain license plate number was reported more than two or three times, a letter of warning was sent to that home. And then if that number were kept being repeated, they would be cited. And that included the stereos and things like that. Summer's coming. I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing the kids in the park, but I'm not looking forward to the stereos, the cranking stereos. And another thing I do want to...
Stereos in the car or
in the car.
My house?
Car stereo. Oh, no. We're very fortunate. Our neighbors are, you know, we have a very quiet neighborhood. We don't even have many barking dogs. It's really the car stereos and the subwoofers that, you know, sometimes our windows rattle. And when we first moved in, we had the original aluminum windows, and it was even worse. So
furrow wide, yeah.
Yeah, so, we, you know, since we've updated, it's a little better, but it is a concern. So for me, one of my main concerns is the noise and the speeding. But I also do want to point out that since the girls will be playing softball soon in the park, again, we love listening to the games from our home, but we have had problems with parents turning around in our driveway. We've asked them to stop, we remind them it's a one-way. Just go to the top of the hill, bear right, you'll get to where you need to go, or bear left. And a couple times we've been cussed out with softball players sitting in the back seat. So it's kind of, it's sad, but it would be nice to have some support for the first few games as the season got started, because I think we could nip that in the bud right away. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
My name is Carolyn Dankert, and I live at 203 Vine Street, the corner of Vine and Race, basically across the street from Martha. And many of us have met recently, actually. Actually, at the wonderful Progressive Dinner, in fact, brought many of us together on these issues. And since that time, I've actually talked to a number of people on Washington Street, Race Street, most of whom couldn't join us tonight. But what I've discovered is there is a large amount of interest in that particular area on these general livability issues, particularly with traffic, littering, noise. And I think if we reached out in a broader context elsewhere in Edgewood, this would be a larger concern. We're primarily focused on this particular swath since that's where we all live, but I have no doubt, like we spoke with Mark and I know on his street, this is also an issue, traffic and speeding and so forth. So I would just affirm what Martha was saying in terms of, since we live at that corner, we live in an old Victorian house, and my husband and I both work at home. And so we're at home full time. I work on the third floor in a turret. I overlook that park. I overlook that intersection. I see cars go through the stop signs constantly. I mean, we've actually considered just putting up a video camera and tracking it one day to see how many times in one day do people blow through the stop sign. It's really an endemic problem. So that's just from a personal observation. Now, I just want to say in general, kind of going beyond the traffic, kind of to present our concerns, we're also really interested in these issues in a more holistic context, should I put it, like livability concerns in general. And so those of us here, and as I said, there are a number of other people, and I think no doubt we could interest many more other residents in these issues. We're interested in, call it a livability committee, call it what you will, a group. This is a big area of concern. I think it goes beyond traffic. That's one part. I know litter has been a concern, noise has been a concern. There's also, how do you make the community at large more walkable is a concern. I think this ties in very well to the issues that you raised about having a healthier community in general. I mean, one such example, which is often cited, is how difficult it is for pedestrians to cross Braddock. And of course, there's cross-municipal issues because you also have to deal with Swissvale, but it's obviously, like, it's really a pathetic situation as it stands. It's extremely difficult for pedestrians to cross, except for one place in a large, large area. So I mainly bring this up because I think this is, what we'd like to do is kind of start the dialogue. We primarily are focused on traffic at the moment, and so we'd like to discuss like possible solutions or ways forward to go forward with those issues. But we also want to launch into a larger discussion on general livability issues at large. So I would leave it with, really, we're looking for feedback from all of you in terms of, one, how we can be of assistance. I mean, we realize that the city is quite small. You have limited resources in terms of, you're all volunteers and the staff is quite small. And so in terms of what your capacity is to do research, to look at other best practices around the country and communities like ours in terms of whether it be traffic calming, better pedestrian walkways, you know, we're more than willing to provide research and support as need be. A lot of us have experience in these areas or experience in researching social science matters. So we can assist in those practices. If we can be of use in other ways, please let us know. But we put that forward also with, we're asking not only to provide the support, say, you know, we realize we can form a committee, but we also like to have dedication from the council, from the staff, from the police department to also support those efforts and to make, you know, real progress in those respects. So that's my primary focus on livability issues. I did want to raise one extra small issue which does tie into livability as well, and it's perhaps more directed to our police representative, is since we live across the street from the park, we've noticed that there's been a consistent issue in the last few weeks of, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is the process is the park is unlocked in the morning and then it's locked at night. For several weeks now, it's been left locked continually quite frequently. And I called the police department 2 weeks ago to inquire why the park's been left locked all day. And the person on the desk duty basically said, I'm not sure and I'll look into it. But we actually started a spreadsheet tabulating, like the last 3 days, the park has not been unlocked once. Martha even observed children climbing over the fence to get into the park this weekend. So really it's an inquiry as to why is the park not being unlocked any longer, if that's actually a decision or if it's more just some sort of neglect to do so. So those are my inquiries. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to us, and hopefully this is just the beginning of a conversation on livability and making the community of Edgewood even better in the future.
Thank you.
Mighty girls.
Mighty girls.
I'm a fan.
Indeed, thank you.
Anyone else?
There's a sign-in sheet, right?
There is, yes.
If you would all be kind enough to put your names and your email addresses, I would appreciate that very much. I will say that, and I'll let the chief speak to some of this, but I do want to assure you that we have done, we just did a street evaluation of South Braddock Avenue. There was a grant, we submitted a grant, and it goes from Braddock Avenue all the way past Edgewood Town Center. With some recommendations that we can do, some that we cannot do, it's just not feasible to do. So we have looked at Braddock Avenue. We understand, you know, there's a crosswalk there, and people would prefer to cross across from the Square Cafe. It is not safe there because of the topography. Cars coming up the hill cannot see people walking. And so we will not have a crosswalk there as a safety concern. And we've been working with the businesses in Regent Square, trying to get them on board with maybe having a little poster in their businesses saying, we like your business, please cross at the crosswalk. That has been something that we've been really trying to, we've struggled with in getting people not to cross in between that one block. And when we talk about making Edgewood a walkable community, promoting walking just to the crosswalk would be helpful for us there. And that's just South Braddock Avenue. We have worked with the city, you know, the study went on up past the tennis courts and 14th Ward baseball. That's unfortunately, there were people who were injured, and that's why we have that lighted, the city has the lighted crosswalk there. So we really do take safety seriously. We've also done a study on Greendale Avenue a couple of years ago and looked at, you know, what can we do with, they're called calming devices, not speed bumps, and looked at things there. There were, it was about a decade ago that we, I think, put speed bumps, calming devices in, and what seemed to be a good idea was even more of a disaster, not for lack of trying. And I'm not one to say, well, just because we did it once doesn't mean we don't do it again, so please understand that. I'm just letting you know, that we have, you know, we are aware of problems, and we, you know, yes, we're elected officials and we're volunteer, we don't get paid, but we're dedicated to the community, and we ran for office so that we could make a difference and work with residents, okay? So, and I live on Lloyd, and if you want to see a speedway, because you go up Lloyd and it goes right to Swissvale and it's a hill, so people think they have to go 50 miles an hour to get up the hill for some reason, like their cars won't make it unless they do that. Dewey is also a street that's been here, you know, complaining about speed. So speeding in our community is a concern. Unfortunately, a number of the speeders are Edgewood residents who don't want speeding on their street, but they don't seem to realize that they're speeding on their neighbor's street. So we will continue to look and figure out what we can do. I will get in touch with all of you, and I think it's a great idea that we, you know, have an opportunity to work together, to brainstorm together. I hate brainstorm. I hate that word. But anyway, to work together to try to, you know, think of different ways, maybe work with Chief Payne, have with the mayor's approval, you know, have an opportunity to sit down and have an evening with, you know, Chief Payne and the mayor and talk about, you know, public safety issues would be something that we might be able to do and come up with some things. I know Mr. Cato has been before council with respect to the litter problem, and we've had some things in the newsletter working with other folks that you've met at the Progressive Dinner, and we've all met at the Progressive Dinner. You know, the dog walkers, you know, I'm for take a bigger bag, you know, and pick up the litter that you see. You know, beer cans are everywhere. But, you know, if the people who are walking about, you know, would do some stretching and pick up the litter, that would be helpful. And nobody wants to pick up anybody else's trash. You know, I don't want to clean my kid's room. But you do what you need to do. And once you do it, and you keep doing it, when people don't see litter, they don't litter for some reason. It's sort of like when you paint a mural on a building, the graffiti artists respect that. But when you see a can, you know, laying down, it's real easy to whip something else out there because it's been there and you've passed it a couple of times. So I know that mindset. I've been getting the Litter Czar's newsletter, you know, we can tap some of those resources from this fellow who lives in Squirrel Hill who's calls himself the Litter Czar. But he has some good ideas and, you know, can form block captains, if you will. You know, we have you know, the block watch. Well, you know, we may be able to do that for sustainability and livability, you know. If the people of the same mind from different areas of Edgewood get together, You know, they may be able to have a, you know, area cleanup, you know, once a month and work together on that. You know, the garden club with planting, those kind of things I think might help with livability and sustainability. The turnaround, this car stereo noise, you know, we'll have the chief talk about that. I wish there was a way that, you know, we could stop them or tag them or do something with them. And chief, you know, I'll put that out there for you to address. But because we have a number of those going up Lloyd as well, and the windows rattle, and I think it's probably a maple and everywhere else too. And that's a concern. One, because, you know, they can't hear anything, and they won't ever be able to hear anything when they get older. So health-wise, that's an issue. The turnaround the driveway, I think that, you know, we can, when softball starts, you know, have, and we've done that with baseball and things too, you know, just to get the season kicked off right.
It's interesting. It's never a problem with soccer.
I don't know. You know,
because that's Saturday morning or Sunday morning.
Yeah, maybe, you know. But it's something that, you know, we're aware of now and you know, might be able to come up with something and working with the mayor and the chief of police. So I will say that I know we're council collectively, you know, is committed to keeping Edgewood with respect to livability and sustainability. You know, we got cited as a, you know, cheapest, nicest place to live, you know, in one of those, you know.
What was that one?
Number 8.
Huh?
Number 8.
Yeah. We just got another banner community designation, which is, you know, no small shakes. So we are committed to keeping Edgewood. You know, we like when people start off in a small house, get a larger house, and then get, you know, downsize and get a smaller house, you know, all in, you know, a 3-block area. That's what we're known for. We've got the foundation and there's Edgewood Cleanup Day that's going to be coming in May, which is, you know, a great community building activity that that we could work together to get the word out. And if you've made contact with folks at the Progressive Dinner and you know who they are, you know, we can, you know, kind of, as I say, get different areas of Edgewood together and work together. We're all committed. We're all rowing in the same boat. We all live here, and we you know, want to keep Edgewood walkable. You know, I walk down Lloyd, around the park, and up, you know, Greendale, and around, and my little 3-mile walk when the weather's nice. I think we're all, and I always, Julie hates when, and Warren hate when the weather gets nice, because I'm always texting, this branch needs to be trimmed, you know, there's a tree that doesn't look, you know, there's a hole in the sidewalk, somebody needs to say something. And I'm sure other members of council do the same thing. So we're with you, and I thank you on behalf of council for your commitment and your caring. And we will do to the best of our ability to you know, work with you and to make Edgewood to be a great community. Chief Payne, you want to?
Sure. I like that idea of an evening with Chief Payne, okay? So,
I'll bring cookies.
I welcome that, actually. I know your frustrations. I am just as frustrated as you are at times with some of the issues that you brought up. We are a small community that is situated in an area that we, the police, are very cognizant of the fact that we have to work very hard to make sure that our residents are safe in all aspects. With that being said, we spend an awful lot of time in a proactive stance trying to send the right message to those bad guys that live around us, and I'll leave it at that, to understand that if you're going to do something here in Edgewood, you're going to get caught, and we're going to prosecute you. And I hate to say this, and I've been here about 8 years, I think that every fifth driver that we stop for red lights, for speeding, for stop signs, is suspended DUI related. Now that's hard to swallow, that every fifth driver that we're stopping is suspended DUI related. So that tells you a little bit on the other side of the coin how the law itself is not working properly to keep these people off the street. So we continue to stop them, we continue to write them, and they continue to drive. And that's a sad state of affairs. Greendale. I've been watching Greendale as much as I can. I've had the officers watch Greendale. Greendale was a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit. Right now, the surface road down there probably doesn't let a whole lot of people travel 25, because if you try that, your car's going to start bouncing around and you're going to feel how bad that road is, especially down where you guys are at. With that being said, Greendale is situated as such that we do not have enough of a distance to be able to clock someone with our vehicle. So that kind of restricts us and gives us the only opportunity to do any speed enforcement by way of using our AccuTrack system. With our AccuTrack system, we would have to be able to set up within a specific certain area where we have two fixed points, and an officer could sit with a timing device and try to catch anybody that may be speeding. That road, you hit it right on the head, whoever's talked about it almost turning into a one-way street, because probably about mid-afternoon on into the evening hours, we have the one side of Greendale with all the parked vehicles. That immediately takes away the two-way issue. And that also slows people down to a certain extent, because you can't drive fast through there because of the issues with two-way. And I've been looking at the possibility of setting up a sign down there, one of those electronic signs with a radar gun. I'm not sure I can even do that, because when I look at it, we have to be able to place that sign in a specific location. Then number one, it's not going to get hit, because that's what happened in Swissville. And number two, that has to have a sight distance, because there's a radar gun inside that sign that's going to try to pick up the speed. The stop signs, the one that you're talking about down at Boyd, we watch that continuously. Now, you haven't seen us through the winter months doing as much, because we don't do as much traffic enforcement during the winter months as we do once the warmer weather hits.
I'm actually talking about the one right off the ramp.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, and I've talked to most of my officers, and seldom do they ever. And here's the unique part of Greendale. Greendale is a thoroughfare, and it's a thoroughfare for everyone, to include the police, I might add. Your street gets more police patrols than any other street in the borough, to be honest with you. On any given shift, that is a direct route from everybody that's on that side of town to get to the other side of town, to include the police. So the police are on that road continuously. I was out today probably for several hours. If I didn't go up and down that road at least 8 times, it would be...
We see you,
but no one stops. Yeah.
It's
so,
being able
I mean,
to sit there and watch something rather than when you travel along it.
I've sat there in the unmarked car. You know we have an unmarked car? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have an unmarked car. I've sat there, and I have not seen the speeding that you're talking about, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I just have not. If I seen it, believe me, I'd be right on top of it, but I just haven't seen that type of speeding. And sometimes, you know, when you're looking at something, they may look like they're going faster than they really are. 25 sounds like it's slow, but it's not that slow when you hit Race Street, and I know all about Race Street, okay? You're absolutely right. Once they hit that bottom, they catapult themselves up there to the top. Again, where do we set up at? You know, we looked at trying to paint the lines down there. It's almost impossible to paint and sit anywhere that would be productive, to be honest with you. So I don't have all the answers, obviously, but two heads are better than one and three are better than two. So
yes,
I'm more than willing to work with you guys, because I'm looking for...
what he's saying.
Okay. It's just frustrating because... To me, they do, I mean, it's not them slowing down, it's them speeding up to get to the other side of that whole line of cars. And it's people texting, and it's, I mean, I've called them, Jason, I've called on the fire. I mean, I've talked to the fire chief about the fire trucks. It starts from the top up. It doesn't only start with the residents and other outside. It starts within the government. And, I mean, to see a fire truck, I called. I said, is there a fire? He said, no. I said, well, he is driving so fast down our street, you couldn't believe it.
And how fast do you figure he was going?
Probably 40 miles
an hour. I would absolutely argue that point.
You can argue it, but...
You can't do 40 down that street. Right now is what I'm telling you, because of the surface of the road itself.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It's just what we see. It's a narrow street. You know, the other day he wouldn't let me call because whoever was driving the fire truck was looking down and texting and driving the whole time. That's disappointing. You know, and I understand it's hard. You guys have a hard job, but it's very frustrating just to hear, we've done this, we've tried this. Okay, so we're here to work on some ideas.
That's
so
exactly what I said.
Okay.
Two heads are better than one.
Good.
And I'm more than willing to work with you guys, and you could be Payne's gangs where we can meet in the evenings or in the afternoon, whenever you guys want to meet. If you can come up with some ideas, I would be more than happy to sit and talk with you guys and try to work something out. Always keep in mind, we have a lot of roads in the borough. It's not just your stop sign or your street. We try to watch as many of the stop signs and red lights that we can as far as traffic enforcement. The warmer weather's around the corner. Normally what I try to do is bring out a third. See, we only have two officers out. So I try to bring out a third officer to work noon to 8. That covers two shifts. And it covers two shifts during the busiest time of our work period. And what they normally do is they work specifically traffic. Now, you may not see them down there, but there may be somewhere else. They're everywhere.
Whatever.
You know, we try to get them everywhere because we have problems all over the borough. And it's not just the borough. And you guys drive. You know what it's like to drive out there today. People push those red lights. Mm-hmm. People will not stop at those stop signs. And people are driving faster than they obviously should drive. People are so preoccupied. Texting. If for me to be able to stop someone and write them,
yeah.
I have to see it. Then I have to go and subpoena all their records to show that they were actually texting at that time. It's frustrating as can be. Noise ordinances. And you don't know how bad I hate to hear that. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? Even where I live, I hear it. You have to have, number one, a noise ordinance. Number two, you have to have a way to measure a decibel number so that you could write that particular person. That means we would have to buy special equipment to be able to use to measure the noise decibels so that we could write that person. So there's always some kind of monetary thing attached to everything we try to do.
Which is not...
Pardon?
I'm sorry, you can even do cell phones now. It's not highly specialized.
You might be able to do that.
But if
police
you're
have
write
to have
somebody
a specialized,
in, yeah.
It has to be calibrated, it has to be all that stuff.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
that
see,
we
I mean,
have
there's so many laws that govern what we do, and a lot of people don't understand those laws. Attended to that stop sign and one further down because we had gotten complaints. And when we get complaints, we try to put time and effort into that. Here's the problem. As soon as I put a guy there, you're going to get a call to the town center. Somebody just shoplifted at Giant Eagles, or we're going to be up at the square, or we're going to be somewhere else. It's so hard to commit manpower to a specific location for any period of time because there's only two officers. And then when an officer does make a traffic stop, procedurally, you want a second officer there for officer safety and things like that. It's so difficult. It's unreal.
But not impossible.
Not impossible.
Something that we'll work on with the chief.
And here's what I would suggest. Come on and ride with us sometime.
I would love you.
Yeah, see? Come on out and ride with us. I'm serious. Do a ride-along sometime. And you'll see what I'm talking about. You know, we're over here doing this, then we got to go over here to do that, and then we got another call that's down here. But we want to watch that stop sign. It's easier said than done sometimes, quite honestly.
Sure. Yeah.
So I invite you guys to come on out and We'll put a bulletproof vest on you, because we have to, and you could ride with us. It's a fun time, but it'll give you a little bit of an understanding from our viewpoint of what's going on, okay? So you're number one on the agenda. You come ride with us, okay?
Okay. My husband, I guess.
But we're not going to give you a gun.
Yeah.
I have not noticed that, honestly. There's practice down there this evening.
It's been live all day.
Today.
Well, you can go in the back way. You can go in the back entrance by the playground, but the two primary gates have been locked
continually. I see the kids playing today. The lower gate was unlocked and the kids
were
in
the lower gate. Yeah, the lower gate was unlocked today. I don't know why.
We'll look.
3-3 and both were locked.
Okay, well, thank you for letting us know that, and that's something that needs to be checked on.
And again, because of the winter months and that, we...
Correct. So sometimes Public Works, obviously the steps leading to the park are not the first priority. They have to clear the roads, and they have to clear the alleyways. So there have been times in the winter months when they haven't been able to clear the steps yet, and rather than have it be a safety hazard, they haven't unlocked the park.
It's just like,
but a day like today,
It's been consistently locked. Both the upper gates have been locked, only we haven't been monitoring the lower gates, because that's usually unlocked all the time.
Right.
It's a safety hazard. Kids are climbing over the...
Oh, yeah, no, we don't want that. No, and they're supposed to be open, and you know, if it's not, if it's not slippy out, then, they should be open. And people in the morning like to use the track when the weather's nice. That's the other, you know, we walk down and do 5 times around, and that's a mile, and then you go back up.
I think usually, you know, because of the winter months, we just kind of leave them locked and nobody goes down, but this winter's been so different, you know. So we guarantee they'll be open tomorrow at 70 degrees. Okay. any questions?
The driveway. They're turning around in our driveway.
The driveway is private property. You're more than welcome to post a sign. Say, hey, no turnaround, please. If we can catch them doing it, we'll encounter them and explain to them the facts of life. And when you said how they treated you, I'm just not surprised. As they treat you that way, believe this or not, they treat the police the same way. We would have to, if we could write a ticket, number one, we'd have to look at the violation, and then you would have to come to court to testify because we didn't see the violation.
Right.
So that sometimes stops people from wanting to go through that whole routine.
When they turn around, they're driving back down.
Yeah, they're going down the wrong way.
Oh, they're going down, back down.
Yeah, that's why they turn around, because they don't want to go all the way up.
Oh, that's bad.
That's crazy. Okay, that's crazy.
And it really happens in summertime, and it happens on softball nights.
Okay.
More than baseball.
So softball.
We'll make every effort to try to get somebody down there to make sure that they're watched, especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's a matter of conditioning. You know, if we can condition these people, don't do this. Sometimes they see one red and blue light, and that's the end of them doing it.
Right. I may be able to work with the softball coach, too, Kip, and have him... you know, pass out a paper that's, to meet with the parents and say, you can't do that. You know, sometimes, you know, the coaches have, a better influence early on, you know.
Right.
So we'll ask Kip to say
something. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't throw no red bricks at the cars. That's it. And although you'd like to do that, I know. You guys got my number. You know how to get a hold of me anytime. I'll work with you any way I can.
And please put your names and your email addresses would be very helpful. And, yes.
Can I just ask, thank you very much,
Chief. And come out and ride with us. I'm dead serious about that. And you'll get a better flavor of what's going on. Okay?
Obviously, you heard email addresses, and you're going to email us. How would it be best for us to continue specifically
Well, it's wonderful to have you all here. This is unusual for us. I will say that. And so the first step for us is to, you know, talk together. And I think one of the first things to do would be to contact you and put in the on the website in the newsletter and set up an evening, you know, a meeting. Where like it and it start making those lists of, you know, what are some of the issues and then divide up the issues. And if you chunk out the issues and have people who are specifically interested in, you know, noise reduction and what can we do with that and you know, where are the hot spots with respect to, you know, to speeding or whatever. You know, we know you've heard what the limitations are, but you're right, you know, there are limitations, but that doesn't mean that things are impossible. It's just an explanation for you of you know, what legally can be done, but that doesn't mean that a presence doesn't slow people down just in being there. And so those are the things that I see would be helpful is getting together like-minded folks, you know, having sticky things up, people write, and then go from there. That would be my plan. Yes, Mr. Fuller.
And believe it or not, we do have a reputation as a community of being very strict with lawbreakers, a lot more so than other communities around us. People will tell me that, you know, I don't generally drive through Edgewood because I'm afraid of getting a ticket. Well, the only way to get a ticket is if you break a law. But chances are getting a ticket in Edgewood are a lot higher than they are in a lot of other communities.
It may not seem like that, but yeah, that's sort of true.
I can attest to that. Can I ask one other thing?
Sure.
To show you the kind of community we live in. You know, we had a bank robbery. Bank robbery happened 2 weeks ago tonight. Guy went into the First Commonwealth Bank, passed a note, you know, give me all the large bills, don't give me a dye pack, et cetera, and out the door he went. Within 3 days, we had him identified, and within a week, we had him in custody. So that's the reputation that we have. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with traffic, but it sure has a lot to do with protection of the community and against really bad guys like him. So, and George is absolutely right. My wife grew up in Swissville, and it's always been that way. She said, if you were going to do it, you don't want to do it over in Edgewood because you're going to get caught. And we like that. And when you see the red and blue lights on, that's why they're on. We will stop everybody that we can for about anything that we can just to show that our presence is around. Okay? Okay.
Thank you. So that's the plan. All right. I appreciate that. It's important to do a recap. So I'm sort of. That's sort of why we're here. Pardon?
You guys can't leave now. You're in. Chief, walk up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Chief. Take care, gang.
All right, take care. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Hey,
thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Where are we? Authorization to. Did you have anything? Okay. Authorization to pay bills for goods and services, Mr. Wainwright.
I move to authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee from the general fund in the amount of $58,807.68. And from the sewer fund in the amount of $4,857.82 for a total of $63,665.50.
Second.
Questions or comments, Mr. Wainwright?
No notable large expenses to note of, all routine.
All right. Ms. Bustinini, will you call the roll?
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Committee action, motion to accept the letter of resignation from part-time officer, police officer Miller. Mr. Fuller.
I move to accept part-time police officer Joe Miller's letter of resignation dated March 2nd, 2016 and effective March 12th, 2016.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Officer Miller is leaving for a full-time position with the city of Pittsburgh, and he's been a good officer for us, and we wish him well in the future.
We trained another one, Chief.
I know.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Bussing, you need to call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes, and we do wish Officer Miller the best in his future endeavors, and the city can send us a thank you note. Yes.
Chief, the three police officers, are they now?
We're down to two, and we're just about ready. The backgrounds are just about done. They should be done this week, and we'll have them ready for hiring.
Motion to prepare bid specs for sanitary sewer repairs and source flow reduction. Mr. Wilson.
I move to authorize Burroughs engineer to prepare bid specifications for the 2015 sanitary sewer repair project and source flow reduction study and to advertise the proposed projects.
Second by Dr. Wallace. Questions or comments?
You all received in your packet explanations from the borough engineer about specific details of both of the projects. Just to point out, this is the 15 sewer project. We are a little behind on our O&M schedule because one of the projects took longer than anticipated. And 13 went into 14, which had pushed everything back. I'll take any specific questions you guys have about these, but otherwise it follows the engineer's plan and the borough's operation and maintenance schedule.
To be in compliance with our consent orders.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Bustini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Business meeting, volunteer fire department. Mr. Reynolds is not here. Mr. Fuller, if you would get in touch with the volunteer fire department and address the potential texting while driving concern, and also some of the concern for speed. Recreation report, Ms. Bastianini.
The borough's annual Easter egg hunt will take place at Koning Field on Saturday, March 19th at noon. Children ages 2 to 10 are encouraged to attend. Please remember to bring your own basket or bags to collect the eggs. And if anyone from council would like to help set up early, please let me know. We have one more week of youth basketball. And softball and t-ball registrations will be available on April 15th. That's all I have for recreation.
Any questions for Ms. Bastianini? Everything went all right this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Water Authority report, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you. Water Authority met, for those of you who have been following the Flint, Michigan story, the EPA only requires water authorities to test for lead every 3 years. So this year is one of the years that the Wilkes-Barre Pan Joint will be testing lead. We do it at, I forget how many locations. Most of the lead, unfortunately, comes from service lines and not from the main lines or out of the water itself. So
can I ask a quick follow-up to that? Do you have any idea how many laterals are lead in the service area for Wilkes-Barre Pen?
Most of them.
Most of them, okay.
May I ask a question? Are there any water mains that have lead in them?
The only lead, no. A short answer would be no. Some of the materials they used years ago to make a watertight seal might have had a little lead in it, but there is nothing in the water here that should act corrosively towards that like they did in Flint.
And does the water company treat the water in such a way as to prevent acid?
No, not necessarily. What your main disinfectant is hypochlorous acid. When they add chlorine to water, But then they also, in Wilkinsburg Pen Joint, they had another chemical whose name escapes me at the minute that counteracts that acid. So generally the water is, the pH is neutral. You know, you're talking 7, I think the EPA limitations are 6.8 to 7.8, I think. So the general pH is not on the same.
Yeah, well, isn't it true that Western Pennsylvania water is non-acidic?
Well, yeah, because a lot of that has to do with the calcium carbonate underlayment. So you end up with a lot of carbonates in the water, and that neutralizes any acids.
You know, people have been reading about Pontiac, Michigan, but I think it's a very unique situation. They somehow got acid in their water.
Well, there was a problem with the river they were pulling their water from us. It would have been like taking them on water back when all the steel mills and coal mines were dumping all the acids. That was mainly the problem. And then a lot of Pittsburgh Water Authority uses soda treatment, and that also neutralizes acid.
I know that many of the water lines to the houses in Edgewood are lead. Mine is lead.
Unless you've had your lateral replaced in the last 10, 15 years, I would imagine it's lead.
Yeah. Probably not even.
The other good part about calcium carbonate in our water is it has a tendency to form a film on it. So, you know, you're really not contacting lead pipes that much.
Yeah. Well, probably 90% of the laterals are lead. But they also have this coating that you mentioned. So generally it's not a problem.
Good. May it stay that way. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Fuller? Anything else, Mr. Fuller? Sorry.
The judge did not overturn the arbitration award on the percentage of the money taken out for health care costs, which is kind of amazing. They pay close to $4 million a year in health care, which is close to 22% of their budget. I believe that Harlow and Garland were surveyed last week.
Yes.
And they're going to move forward on that project next month. That's it.
Thank you. Planning Commission report, Mayor Cook.
Thank you, Madam President. Planning Commission did not meet.
Council of Government report, Mr. Wilson.
Did not meet.
Borough Solicitor, Mr. Barry.
Thank you, Madam President. I do not have any report, but I believe that we want to have a brief executive session with Borough Council just to tell you a couple of things about litigation matters.
Okay. There you go. All right. Borough Manager, Ms. Bastianini.
Thank you, Madam President. We are out to bid on the roadway improvement project and the salt shed project. Bids will be open March 31st, and hopefully Council will be able to grant an award at the April 4th Council meeting. At the April 4th Council meeting, Jason Stanton will also be here, the Borough Engineer, to do Council's annual MS4 training, so get excited. last week I attended an MS4 audit workshop sponsored by Three Rivers Wet Weather that reviewed what to expect when your municipality has their DEP audit. The DEP is already out auditing communities in Allegheny County this year. Our neighbor Wilkins Township has their DEP audit next week, so they are coming. We are doing our best to prepare. The nice weather has allowed our Public Works employees to get a head start on catch basin inspections, cleanings, and repairs. They've already been able to repair 2 catch basins last month, which is unheard of because normally they're just plowing. And we anticipate using March and April to inspect, clean, and repair all of the catch basins in the borough. I'm also working with Republic Services to secure a roll-off dumpster for Dixon Park that will be able to deposit all of the street sweeping collections in once we start street sweeping in April. MS4 has very strict requirements of how we can dispose of the materials that we collect from the streets, so we are working with Republic to be in compliance with that. Also, congratulations to Edgewood Borough for being named a banner community for the second year in a row. There will be an award ceremony at a later date, which I will inform council of, and the rest of my report is for executive session.
Anything from us, Bastianini? New business to be brought before council at this time?
I think we probably should hold a public safety meeting.
All right, when do you want to do that?
That's next Monday.
Good. I'm going to be out for a bit.
Okay.
You do next Monday?
Yeah.
5 a.m.
Perfect.
What time's good? 6, 6:30?
Good. See you guys.
Either one.
6?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
I just got a text here if this is still
being
business.
6 p.m. on the 14th.
Yep.
Okay. Sergeant Brooks passed away today. An Edgewood officer.
Yes, he passed away last week.
Or was it last week? Okay, just hit Facebook or whatever.
Former police officer Brooks Wright. Retired from Edgewood Borough in 2000.
Yeah.
And he had been residing in Florida.
He was here a while.
He was the acting chief, I think, for a very short period of time.
I think he was chief for I think they actually made him chief.
We had heard that we were waiting on confirmation or an obituary. Haven't seen one yet.
Yeah. He was in Florida and he had Alzheimer's. I talked to his cousin who told me several weeks ago that he was in really bad shape. And then we got notification that Monday.
I believe we heard Friday.
Friday.
But I'm not sure when he actually passed away. But once we have firm details, we'll send them out to him. So, yeah.
Thank you. Any other new business? We will need to have a community service committee meeting, I would imagine, Mr. Wainwright. We need to talk to Dr. Petrola, but do you want to see when you can meet and when I can meet and try to have let Dr. Petrola know?
Okay, my schedule.
What looks good for you?
My schedule's pretty open, so just give me a day.
You want to do next Monday?
He's here.
I'm already here. So.
Oh, that's right. You're here for the public safety, but that doesn't work. When's your meeting? 7?
6.
6.
Do you want us to move back a half an hour, and you could do 6, and we could do 6:30?
If it's possible to do them both in the same.
Yeah, why don't we do that? 6 o'clock. Can you do 6:30, and we can do 6?
6:30. Okay.
And then I'll verify with Dr. Petrola tomorrow.
Okay.
Let everybody know.
Okay. Because then we can kind of work out a plan after tonight's meeting. You know, with what we want to do. Since the chief will be here and the mayor will be here, if you two would sit in with us while we, you know, maybe we can work on picking an evening for, if you don't mind, chief and Mr. Mayor, you know, to have a kind of a community meeting, open meeting, that would work. So we can kind of kick that around. That'd be all right?
Yep, I'm good.
All right, so 6 o'clock on the 14th. Thank you very much. Any other new business? All right, at this time, we're going to go into executive session to discuss some potential litigation issues. Thank you all very much for being here. It's always nice to see ya.
Can I get copies of these?